My name is Jim Phillips, and I am Native American by birth. About 40 years ago, I had a great burden on my heart to help my Native American people. My family was devastated by the white expansion. My personal family came from Indian Territory, which became Oklahoma. I am Native American from all sides. I am 132nd Scots. John Paul Jones was my great uncle. His name was John Paul. He changed his name to Jones because he had killed his first mate in the Mediterranean. His nephew, Smith Paul, ran away from home when he was very young and lived in the Chickasaw Nation. He ended up marrying my Chickasaw great-great-great-grandmother, Elatika Moshochu. I am Cherokee, Chickasaw, Ojibwe, Santee Dakota, and Brule Lakota. I was raised by my grandmother and my great-grandmother, and my great-grandmother taught me quite a little bit about Indian culture. I also had a friend, Hank Patterson, that I learned a lot from, and I did a lot of prayer, and I wrote this book, An Introduction to the Thoughts and Customs of the American Indian, like I said, about 40 years ago, to tried to get the Indian people to come back to a culture. They were drunk. Nearly all of my family were alcoholics. My father was killed when I was 2 years old, robbing a liquor store. He had come back from World War II and had post-traumatic stress syndrome, horribly bad. It cost him his life. And I saw my uncles and my great uncles and all these people just devastated with alcohol and no purpose in life. A lot of them would not listen to the Bible at all because the white man had done so much harm to us that how could they bring anything to us that was valid? So I began to write about the culture of our people. And it has helped many of them to come out. Not only did they come out and they saw a foundation there, but many of them become to believe in God, the God of the Bible. Because I did filter that in there, though I could not come at them with the pages of the Bible, literally. This story here is called Learning to See Like the Mole. And you say this writer is crazy. The mole is blind. The mole is only blind when we judge him by our standards and our environment. The mole has good eyesight in his environment. He is like the proverbial Superman with X-ray vision. He can see through solid rock. He is able to see with his ears, his nose, and every square inch of his body. Is a so-called radar detector. He knows when he is near water. He can feel its vibration. He can feel you walking on the ground above him. He can feel the coyote as he silently slips by. He can feel the snowfall and the rain. He can feel the wind blow by the vibration of the trees and the grasses as they tell him their secrets. His whole environment becomes eyes to him. We as a people need to learn how to see again. We have lost our most precious eyesight. We have become blind because we have been captured by the fox and we are out of our environment. We have become blind. We are captured by the fox and taken out of our environment, but now we like the environment so much that we choose to be blind. We need to learn how to see with our hearts again. We need to learn how to listen with the ears of our hearts. Mother Earth is calling. Our ancient religion is calling us, and we can see them. We must open our eyes. It is right before us, but we choose to keep our eyes closed. For many years, we were forbidden to practice our religion in a land where the leaders based their legitimacy and their existence as a nation on the freedom of religion and the pursuit of happiness. We were not given these luxuries because we were conquered. But the time has healed many of their prejudices, and we can now practice our old ways again. We know this government does not want us to be free as we were before white contact, but we have a chance now. We can open our eyes and learn to see again. If we can learn to see again, there are many who will follow. If we can show the way and blaze a trail for them to follow, have we become so compliant that we are happy being blind when we have the opportunity to see again if we just simply open our eyes? The world knows that there's something wrong with their ways, and we have an opportunity to lead them out of their blindness. But are we still blind? If we are, we are blinded by our prejudice. We don't want to share. But if we don't share, we won't have it either. Listen to the grandfathers and what they have said, our legends that have been handed down from our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. They have said that there would be a day when many would again want to listen to, see, to feel the ways of the people. I was a hunting guide and a fishing guide for many years by way of parenthesis in this little story. When I would take people into the woods, into the mountains, into the forest, I would try to teach them how that all animals communicate. They tell all the other animals that we're there. We have to come in like one of them. You can walk up and you can touch a deer if you walk like them. You can walk up and touch a bear if you walk like them. You listen to them. They will become your friends and they will help you. I remember taking one of my friends, which was a very wealthy man. I guided him on the Tejon Ranch, and I'd been up there a lot of times, killed a lot of deer. And I was guiding him. And when we come in there, I was driving an old yellow 73 Jeep truck. And I had a red-tailed hawk that used to follow me. When I'd come in there, he'd follow me. And he got to where, I don't know whether I trained him or he trained me, but I would kill a deer and I would leave part of the liver for him. I would bury the deer's heart in respect for the deer. And I would leave out things for him to eat. Well, got to be pretty commonplace for him to follow me as I came in there, and I'd been in there quite a few times. So when my friend came with me, I said, "Look up there, you watch that hawk." He said, "Why?" I said, "Well, it's going to follow me wherever I go." Well, we were drove about 5 miles, 10 miles, and the hawk was still following us. "That hawk is following us." "Yep." I said, "It's going to show me where a deer is." And he said, "Oh, you're crazy." I said, "Wait and see." Finally, we were down in the bottom of the canyon, way up on a ridge. I saw that hawk circling and circling and circling and circling. I said, "Up on that hill up there, there's a deer." And he said, "It's too far away." And I said, "Yeah, it's far away, but I can hit it if it's what I want." So I looked up there, and I was going to get a deer myself, so I did not want an old deer. I wanted a young deer. I wanted the grandfather deer to stay there to teach the young deer how to survive. Well, this big, nice buck up there. And I got out the spotting scope and looked around up there, and there he was. And I could see his horns, and he was a legal deer to kill. I said, that's the deer I want right there. I said, see, he said, you can't hit that deer. I said, well, I know exactly where my gun shoots. I know my loads of my gun because I load them. And I said, I can shoot that deer. So I got out sandbags, put it on the Jeep, truck. No wind was blowing. It was very early in the morning. I clicked the scope up exactly where he was, about 1,200 yards. 300 Winchester Magnum. And he said, if you hit that deer, I will go get him. I said, one of us is going to have to go get him because it's too far. We'll lose him. He said, I'll go get him if you hit that deer. I said, this is too far away. So I laid there and pulled that trigger, and that deer hit the ground. He was dancing around. My friend was dancing around. And he said, boy, I never saw a shot like that. So he went up there, and it was all downhill. All uphill going up there, but bringing the deer was all downhill. He rode that deer and slid all the way down. And he thought it was like magic. I had a bear claw necklace on. He said, can I wear that necklace? I said, yes. He looked at me and he said, there's magic in that necklace. I said, no, there's just real good training in that shot. I said, you need to learn how to shoot. Well, the old deer gave himself to me anyway. I didn't take his life. He never knew what hit him so far away. Now let's go back to the story. May we first of all want to see again and take the ball and run with it. With every ounce of strength that we have in us, the king can be won if only we can learn to see again. The mole knows where there is a thick blanket of snow on the ground, and it is winter. It is time to rest in silence. But Mother Earth also tells him when the sun shines again, and it's spring. When spring arrives and the sun shines again, it is time to go back to work. My people, the sun has risen. It is time to wake up and go back to work. Mother Earth calls you. Open your eyes and see her beckoning call. Open your ears and hear her sweet voice. Open your hearts and feel her love for you. It is time to awaken. The long winter is passing. It is time to go to work. The sun has risen and spring has arrived. All these things our grandfathers have told us. My name among the Indian people is Traveling Dog, or in Lakota, Shukumiatataka. That means the great buffalo wolf that follows the herds. I hope that this little story, this little sermonette, Indian sermonette, blesses your hearts. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.